It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Fourth and final hour here of You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network. Mark Malusis in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course. Let's welcome aboard right now Sean Hyken, NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. Get his thoughts on the NBA and also NBA Top Shot as well, as he did a recent piece on that. Hey, Sean, Mark Malusis and Ken Barkley with you. Thanks for the time tonight.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Sean, and thanks for joining us. I want to make sure we save a few minutes for Top Shot at the end, but it would almost be like we're a sports betting show. I know a lot of betting people are in on Top Shot, so we will save the time. I promise we will do a couple questions on Top Shot. I took my L earlier today in the whatever Elite Premium Pack, the noon release or whatever came out, so we'll make sure to talk about that too. But let's get some kind of treetop NBA. Yeah, me and the other 170,000 people who were in line who did not get anything. But hey, it's like, you know, basically somebody giving you a free lottery ticket. You might as well see if the numbers come in, see if you can get yourself some collectibles, some digital collectibles. But let's do a little bit of NBA first. You know, I know it's kind of it's been a crazy schedule, fatigue. It's kind of a compressed time of the year, but you know, it's obviously the elite teams have still risen to the top. Let's start with Brooklyn. They win last night. You know, I think a lot of discussion on this show has been about, you know, the Nets to win the Eastern Conference. Basically, how much of a lock is that they're about 50%, basically, if you think about it, to win the Eastern Conference in the betting market right now. Would you give the Nets a greater than 50% chance? And what have you seen from them so far?
I think about 50%, if you want to be optimistic, is about right. I mean, I still think that Philadelphia is really good too, and I still feel like Milwaukee is going to figure things out by the offseason. Like by the playoffs. We're talking about how much they've slipped, and they're still third at the East. Like they don't. You know, I think they're going to be fine, and they're going to figure it out. Brooklyn is interesting because we still just have seen so little of their full team and of those three together. And now we just got the news today that Kevin Durant is going to be out until after the All-Star break. And I mean, what we've seen with, you know, the few games that we've seen with all three of those guys being healthy is that nobody can guard them, but they also can't guard anybody. And so I'm going to be interested to see what they do either at the trade deadline or at the buyout market, because I feel like they're going to get somebody. They're going to bring in somebody. I don't think Andre Drummond is going to get bought out, but maybe like a JaVale or somebody that they can bring in and, you know, get a little bit more defense. But the defense, I think, would be the issue. If you want to say why they might not win the East, I would point to the defense. But offensively, their talent is just off the charts.
Sean, which team in the East, Ken and I were talking about earlier in the show, are you more concerned about, Miami or Boston?
I think that's a tough one. I think
could be neither. You could pick neither if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think neither or both. Like those are the two teams going into the season, to be honest with you, that I thought were going to be the two best teams in the East. I thought the Tristan Thompson acquisition was going to be a lot better for Boston than it was. I thought that was going to be a lot more of a need, and I thought they would be better. And I thought Miami. I'm with Miami. To be fair, you know, Jimmy Butler missed a bunch of time at the beginning of the season. They've had guys in and out. So I still feel like Miami's going to be fine by the end of it. But then Boston, obviously, with Marcus Smart out, they lose so much defensively. I think they're both going to be in the playoffs, but I wouldn't put either of them in the tier with the Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn level teams.
Sean, in terms of the Lakers, obviously we've been following the Anthony Davis injury news. Obviously during the All-Star break, after the All-Star break, they're going to make a decision on what the path back looks like. And, you know, what we've tried to figure out on the show is basically, okay, like, does this matter? Like, does it, you know, if he's still on the, in the rotation, if he's starting at power forward for game one of the first round of the playoffs, you know, does it matter? And do the Lakers maybe become a valuable bet right now as a result of that? How do you kind of see the Lakers, not so much, you know, tomorrow or, in their game tonight against Portland, but, you know, when we get to game one of the playoffs, like, if Davis is on the roster, aren't they still kind of the favorite? Or if it's not them, who is it?
Well, the question there, the follow-up question would be, how healthy is Anthony Davis? Sure. Is he on the roster? Is he in the starting lineup because they felt like he should be back for the playoffs? Or is he actually fully healthy? I mean, this is an Achilles injury that he's dealing with right now. We've kind of seen, you know, we saw a few years ago when the Warriors brought Kevin Durant back a little bit too early in the finals,
yeah,
when he maybe shouldn't have been cleared to play. And then you saw what happened there. He doesn't play at all the next year. And this is like, so I think the Lakers know full well that Achilles injury is something they don't want to play around with Anthony Davis. And so if he's actually fully healthy, if they actually have him and LeBron both at full strength for the playoffs, then I think the Lakers should be favored to win the title. But otherwise, you know, if they're getting either no Anthony Davis for a little bit or a compromised version of Anthony Davis where he's not 100% and you're putting him out there and they're still like monitoring his minutes because they don't want to risk a re-injury, then suddenly the West is kind of wide open for, you know, a team like Utah or the Clippers, or even if you go down to the standings like a Portland or a Phoenix or even a Denver. Like, it really just depends on how healthy he is, not just whether he plays or not.
Sean, if we go down that path and say Davis is not wholly healthy, is not fully healthy for the Lakers, right, and is still dealing with this, you mentioned you ran through three or four teams there that would be viable options in the Western Conference. Sean, which one of those teams would you want to put your backing behind?
Well, the obvious pick right now is Utah, just because they've been the best team in the regular season. I still think the Clippers are going to be really good. Obviously, last year's meltdown in the playoffs where they blew the 3-1 lead to Denver kind of taints them a little bit, probably. But that might mean, you know, I haven't looked at what the odds are, but that might mean you would be able to get them at a little bit better of a price than you normally you know, would be able to for a team with that much talent. And then, obviously, it's going to be the same thing as with the Lakers. If their two superstars are healthy, and both of those guys have missed a little bit of time at different points this season, you know, I think it's really this whole playoffs is going to come down to health. Like, more so, I mean, obviously every year does, but more so than any, just because this schedule is so compressed and they're playing so many games, and, you know, there are going to be so many guys who are banged up and dealing with stuff. It's going to be a lot more like one of those lockout seasons where, you know, in 99, the Knicks made the finals as an eight seed. And then in 2012, there were kind of some weird stuff that happened with different playoff seedings. Like, Derrick Rose tore his ACL in the first game of the first round, and then the Bulls, the number one seed, were out of it. Like, there's always weird stuff that happens with that stuff during one of these compressed type of seasons.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, just would remind people that, you know, it's going to be weird. Like, weird stuff's going to happen. In the NBA, weird stuff almost never happens, but this is actually a season where maybe weird stuff could happen. Sean, let's talk about MVP for a second. It's not that it's necessarily a wide open conversation, but I think the argument, I mean, first of all, among basketball fans, it's always, you know, the LeBron fan would always tell you it's LeBron versus whoever the favorite is, and LeBron deserves to win out all of these MVP awards. Seems like it's being framed currently as him versus Joel Embiid. You know, I think the analytics community would obviously side with Embiid. I think, you know, a lot of people that I talked to are like, I mean, it kind of has to be Embiid at this point with the Lakers having struggled recently. But, you know, let's say their odds, you know, over the next few weeks, you know, remain fairly equal, and there's a large group of players that are long shots behind those guys. Where would you put your money in the MVP market?
The thing you have to think about with the MVP market is not just who you think deserves it the most based on the metrics, but you have to think who the voters might actually vote for, you know, depending on different things happening. Like, I wrote this last September when Giannis won MVP, and then LeBron came out and said he was pissed off that he didn't get more first place votes. I wrote at that time that LeBron was going to win MVP the next year because he was already setting the narrative that he was snubbed, and voters, a lot of the voters kind of want to give it to LeBron because of, you know, they feel like, you know, he could have won some of these other MVPs, and, you know, giving him this last one.
Do you think he was snubbed last year?
No, I would have voted for Giannis, but LeBron is great at setting the conversation the way that he wants it. And he obviously has a lot of support among kind of the major media outlets. I think that if Anthony Davis had been healthy still and the Lakers just kept rolling, there would be no way anybody besides LeBron was going to win MVP. But with him, you know, with Davis out, the Lakers slip in the record. I don't know if they'll be able to justify it. A guy that I might look at, they've just lost three games in a row after their six-game winning streak, and so Portland is not quite as much of a hot thing. But if the Blazers stay around the top four in the West while CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic are still out, and then they kind of stay in that range after those guys get back later on after the All-Star break, Damian Lillard is another guy that I think has a lot of favor with the media members that vote on these awards, in terms of, you know, he's a guy that people like because he stayed in Portland and he did it the right way, blah, 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 all this stuff. He's another guy that, I mean, it's kind of similar to Derrick Rose in 2011, where he kind of won that award because the voters wanted to give him the award and the Bulls were good enough to justify it. The Blazers are good enough to justify putting Damian Lillard in the conversation. I think he's going to have a lot of media support among the voters. And then, you know, if Philly, I mean, the real, you know, the thing that kind of throws a wrench into this race being as wide open as it is just how much time all the guys in Brooklyn have missed. Like, if Durant hadn't missed so much time, he would be probably the clear front runner right now. But I, you know, he just missed too much time. I don't think he'll be able to put him in. So I think it's probably if LeBron falls out because the Lakers slip and Anthony Davis is out for a while and they don't kind of stay in that top range, I kind of think that Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, and maybe Nikola Jokic gets in there back in there again. He had kind of gotten some buzz early on, but he's lost some momentum recently, but maybe he gets that back.
We're talking to Sean Hykin from Bleacher Report, covers the NBA. You know, Sean, let's turn our attention here to Top Shot, because Ken missed out. I think Kostos missed out earlier today. A lot of people missed out.
Yeah,
right. The bots were out yesterday, which delayed the opening of these packs. So, Sean, are you buying into the Top Shot craze?
I wouldn't say I'm buying into it as far as like me getting like fully into it and just buying a ton of them. I bought a few packs. I think I spent like $35 or $40 on packs while I was writing the story that I wrote for BR, just for research purposes, because I wanted to play with the platform and buy some stuff and sell some stuff.
That's what I call it too. I call it research too when I buy them. I call it research too.
Well, right. But like, I've been looking at it, and man, I just find the whole thing fascinating, more so than me actually participating in it, or it's something that I'm going to personally put a lot of money into. I've just been watching it pretty closely, watching some of the issues that they've had with scaling. Like, I see the vision behind it, and especially, you know, some of the people that I talked to at the company while I was working on that story kind of told me about kind of some of the plans that they have for it. Like, after COVID is over, they're talking about making it into sort of a Pokemon Go type of thing also, where you get an exclusive moment if you go to this game that you can only get at the arena, and that would incentivize more fans to buy tickets for live games, which makes more money for the owners. And, you know, they're developing like a mobile game that where you have to make your players, it's kind of like the add-on to 2K, where you have to make your players better by buying these moments on the Top Shot market. There's just like all this stuff. I can see why the league is looking at this as this is going to be a huge moneymaker for them. I also think it's kind of a bubble that is, you know, it's maybe not going to stay as crazy as it has been the last week or so. Over the weekend, I sold a Jackson Hayes dunk that I got in one of the packs that I just like paid $9 for as like a research material that I bought for the story. I sold a Jackson Hayes dunk for $50.
Nice.
Which, like, Jackson Hayes is not even like a
I think Jackson Hayes needs $50. He's going to need $50 in a few years when he's in the G League. Yeah, he's going to need $50.
Right. I looked at it today, and that Jackson Hayes dunk is down to $9 in the market. So I might have sold high on that one. Like, for me, it's been cool just because, like, I bought a few of these packs. I spent like $40 and have made a decent amount of money off of just selling the stuff I've gotten in the packs. But it's not something that I personally am going to be putting a lot into. But I also, you know, I haven't collected cards in years. I don't really do fantasy anymore. Like, so it's not really for me, but I definitely, it's been interesting to watch. I'm going to keep watching it and see, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. Sean, we have about, I don't know, about like 90 seconds left. I want to kind of give you the opportunity to, you know, predict the future a little bit. Something we try to do on this show, sometimes with great success, sometimes not so much. But, you know, if you're going to write a story 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now on Top Shot, kind of based on what you've seen, is it more likely this thing has exploded into, you know, a global phenomenon and money is changing hands at a crazy rate? Or is it more likely that this thing has kind of burst and it, you know, it's collectibles, but it's also on a much smaller scale? What do you think is more likely?
Well, I think it's too early to say because they're so far, they haven't even launched officially yet. They're still in public beta. I think they're trying to launch around time of the playoffs. And so once they've got all their tech issues figured out, that's when we're going to know how sustainable this thing is and how much interest there's going to be. And especially also after the pandemic is over and people aren't just sitting at home, you know, messing around online as much anymore and have to go back to work, you know, where all that stuff goes. I think it's too early to say.
Yeah, the only I have a hard time understanding the value of it. I mean, where, you know, you're buying it and I get it's a craze, but it's only value. And here's the NBA, of course, wants it to be they make money off every single sale.
Yep,
I mean, so I mean, they're continuing to make money. I mean, in perpetuity, they're continuing to make money. I mean, of course, they're a big backer of this because if one highlight gets sold 20 times, the NBA is continuing to ring that cash register.
Sean, Mark's what we call a boomer, by the way. He's what we call a boomer.
And this how much money they've lost in the pandemic, any extra revenue stream they can have, like, I think they're going to, you know, go ahead and embrace that.
No, I sure. get it. I mean, I understand. They, it's like the Yankees crying that they're poor as well, with the NBA crying poor. But, Sean, we appreciate it. Good stuff as always. Bleacher Report, we love reading your stuff. Continued success. Have a great weekend. All right, Sean?
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
You got it. Sean Hyken. There you have it. I didn't mean to be critical of Top Shot.
No. Well, hey, I get it. I get where it comes from. I totally understand. I just – my only thing is any collectible baseball card – any like souvenir, any of that stuff that just gets traded around, honestly, like art in a lot of situations, you don't have to think it's anything, but just to understand that it's something that could gain value. And that's why you should own it. I mean, that's literally baseball cards. It's an identical conversation.
No, I get it. But when we'll get more into it, we got
a whole other 45 minutes. Yeah. Who needs new overnights?
You're listening to You Better, You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network.